What can law enforcement leaders learn from a bunch of dead guys? You're going to find out in today's episode.
Welcome to Courageous Leadership with Travis Yates, where leaders find the insights, advice, and encouragement they need to lead courageously.
Well, it is an honor to have Sergeant Steve Sweeting on the show. He's the author of Street Stoic, Ancient Philosophy, Modern Policing, and a 17-year veteran of a Florida law enforcement agency. I've got a copy of this book, and I've got to tell you, it's one of the best books on this philosophy I've ever read. We'll get into that with Steve. I was so impressed. We had to get him on the air. I think you're going to really enjoy it. Sergeant Steve, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Travis. Great to be here, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, man, little from cover to cover, the book is phenomenal. I don't say this lightly. I'm kind of a connoisseur of books, mainly leadership books, but I have a lot of Stoic books as well. And there's a difference in Stoic books, as you know. You've got the ancient philosophy Stoic books that is somewhat difficult to read. There's some translations out there. And then you've got a few of the more modern books that are in the general sense. But when it comes to law enforcement and this Stoic philosophy, man, I got to tell you, from the front to the back, you nailed this as good as anyone could do it. And I just got to ask you, what made you decide to write the book?
So, you know, Travis, I think probably what, you know, motivated you to write your book, and that is, you know, I've been a cop during the last 5 to 7 years, and I've been through it. Everything that the profession's gone through and seeing how things are going. It was an adaptation. I had to embrace stoicism just to keep going and to find tools to use. And once I realized the positive effects it had and just what it was doing for me personally and at work, and what it, you know, I would share it with officers, or I would, you know, take some little technique and I would give it to somebody who was struggling. And seeing those effects, I felt like I had to write the book. I feel like I didn't have a choice. It was just too good not to share. And, you know, our brothers and sisters are just going through it. And I felt like this is just a natural fit and something that I was pretty much obligated to, you know, teach them. So,
yeah. So I'm always encouraging law enforcement to write books. A lot of people reach out to me about this and everyone seems to be hesitant, and I'm always encouraging them because everybody wants to talk about us, but us, right, Steve? I mean, everybody has an opinion about law enforcement, but the real experts, we almost think, I feel like we feel muted, like, oh, if I write a book, I may get in trouble or nobody's going to read the book. And really the opposite is true. Now, there's certain ways you need to do that. You'll notice that I brought Steve on the show as a place, he works in a place where you get eaten by an alligator, but I didn't give a lot more specifics than that. So there's certainly ways to do that. I've been doing this thing one way or another for well over 20 years, and I have figured out every way to get in trouble. And I've, through the time, I figured out a way to not get in trouble. And so I want to encourage everybody listening that, you know, there's so much expertise in this profession. And of course, yours is in the Stoic philosophy. We're going to get into that. But we need that information out there. And I think what's unique about your book, Steve, and it's called Street Stoic, you can get it on all the major platforms, is it's that rare book that I think is timeless. Like, I think you could buy this book in 2023, the year we're filming this, or you could buy this book in 2033, if you're somehow listening to this then, and it will still be applicable. And so you use this philosophy kind of through the last few years of chaos we've experienced, and you saw it help you, and you decided, I think it's going to help others. Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Absolutely. You know, it's just like, you know, when I came into law enforcement, we had all these specialists, different officers who they kind of hoarded the knowledge. They would, you know, they would be a specialist. And if you, for instance, if you didn't know how to do a DUI, they would help you out a little bit, but you had to come kiss the ring. And they were the master, you know. And that's what I noticed with a lot of things in law enforcement. And I've always decided, you know, once I understand things and gain the knowledge, I'm not going to be like that. I'm just going to teach anybody who I think could benefit from the things I know. And so, you know, being a field training officer for 10 years and being an FTO sergeant nowadays, I just naturally want to share, you know, want to share what works. So,
yeah, I think people listen to this, not law enforcement, may not understand what you just said, but law enforcement has this real sick, twisted way of knowledge is power, right? And
yes.
We use correct. Power in a lot of negative ways. And so you'll see folks that do exactly what you say. In fact, I would think it's probably the norm, and you're more abnormal, and I am as well. And because we don't understand that anyone in this profession, Steve, whether it's you or whether it's me, we stand on the shoulders of those before us, right?
Absolutely.
We learn from others, and we wouldn't be in the position we're in today if it wasn't for those before us. So it's at some point in your career, it's your turn to let people stand on your shoulders. And so I think you've done a remarkable job here. And for those of you that out there that maybe don't know what stoicism is, and I think probably it's a small minority of people that actually know. I just came across this several years ago. In fact, I'm in my business office right now and I have all the virtues on the wall. And so just kind of give our audience a quick general overview of first how you found it, but what stoicism actually is.
Absolutely. So I first found stoicism through, I read all the leadership books, and I read your book, by the way. I was a big fan early on. I read, some Jocko, I read Stephen Covey, I've read, On Killing, Dave Grossman's excellent book. And I started just picking up any leadership book, any motivational book I could get my hands on. And then I happened across, Ryan Holiday. And Ryan Holiday wrote, Ego is the Enemy and Obstacle is the Way, where he uses, it's a very modern take on stoicism, where he speaks to a very broad audience. And basically what led me to stoicism was that, or what, what led me further into stoicism was nobody was talking to the cops. It was, people were talking to the military, people were talking to corporate entities, sports figures, politicians, but nobody was really talking to the cops. So that's when I really dove into the source material and started learning it all for myself, because there wasn't just a book I could pick up and it would, spoon feed it, stoicism for cops that I could read. So I basically made the book that I could have used back then. So that's, pretty much what led me to writing the book, and, how I got into it. It was basically through Ryan Holiday and reading a lot of leadership books.
Yeah, one of my biggest complaints about a lot of leadership books, and I have a lot of them, is it's just so, it touches the surface, right? I want to explain that a little better. Like, it gives you just enough. We go back to that knowledge is power. So a lot of these books read the same. They all say similar things in different ways. I look at a guy like John Maxwell, who I think has done a phenomenal job, but I'll mention Dave Ramsey too, not to just pick on the leadership guys. Or
sure.
Gals, is nothing they say is unique. It's just repackaged. It's almost marketing, right? And it's very successful. And so you get to kind of go two ways. Hey, I can kind of repackage this for law enforcement and kind of say similar things. In fact, I don't even have to be that much of an expert. I just have to have a little bit of charisma, film a little TikTok. We'll get into that a little later. I know you mentioned that. And
sure.
And things will work pretty well. In fact, I can probably book a lot of classes, write a bunch of books. Or you can say, there's enough of that out there. And that's one of the things I tried to do with my leadership book. I had no desire to write a book that had already been written 15, 20 times. And the same way with the podcast. I have no desire to just repeat things that everybody else hears. And this isn't as popular probably as those things, but that doesn't matter. I think it can reach the people it needs to reach better. And when I read your book, that's what I gather out of that, Steve. This book is so unique in the way it applies to law enforcement. The value is immense. I mean, there's not even a dollar value on what the value you get for this is incredible. And I know you mentioned Ryan Holiday, and I'll keep my opinion to myself somewhat, but he repackaged a lot of ancient philosophy into a new marketing type thing. That's not what you did. I mean, you put direct application to law enforcement, and kind of tell our audience some direct impact it can have on them from law enforcement if they adopt some of these principles.
Absolutely. And, that was my hope with the book. And, real quick, I know I didn't fully answer this earlier. Stoicism in general is, they call it, a philosophy of life. And if I could design a belief system for cops, this would be it. And I find it remarkable that they were talking about stuff, you know, 2,000, 2,300 years ago. Basically, Stoicism offers you a practical approach to leading like a virtuous and fulfilling life. This isn't like philosophy where you sit around, you know, on some college campus somewhere thinking deep thoughts. This is something that you, you know, you practice in the streets. And that's why I call it street stoic, is because it's, at the end of the day, it's practical. This is for people who, you know, get shit done. And this is for people who experience stress and people that are under pressure. You know, what do you do when the chips are down? What do you do when nothing's working? This gives you something foundational to fall back on. And, you know, it basically, it's a whole set of ideas, skills, techniques that help you cultivate, you know, resiliency and virtue and your wisdom. And basically, you know, you practice self-discipline and mindfulness. And if you adhere to it, you can usually have a, you know, general sense of happiness or, you know, well-being. And I think that's what cops really need, right, is a way to limit that stress and anxiety and some kind of ethos or code or just something to fall back on where we can all be on the same page. And, you know, that's what I thought was really, you know, the best part about it was I can share this with anybody. It's non-religious. It's non-political. You don't have to believe anything or buy anything, or, you know, you don't have to go make your friends into Stoics. You can just quietly practice this and it'll work for you. And me, I am just a normal, average, everyday guy. And if I'm able to deal with, you know, the world of law enforcement and be a good leader and handle all the stuff that I deal with by using this, then anybody can.
Well, it is unique in what the way law enforcement addresses it. Because to law enforcement, this is typically what we do, is we buy off on a program, right? It's right. Usually short term. Somebody's got their name on it. They're trying to get credit for it on their resume, or maybe they put on their LinkedIn I love me wall, but some program right. That they've implemented. And this, yeah. I've seen this so often over and over and over. And of course, the programs lately are just about as nauseating as they get. And they don't do any good. We never go back later, Steve, and evaluate this so-called program. But what you describe Stoicism is if you try to implement it as a program, it's not going to work. It's more of a how you live your life type philosophy. And this sort of diametrically is opposed to the way law enforcement typically handles the way what we do. So kind of explain, if you're a leader out there and you go, you know what, I want to start implementing this on the job. I want to implement this in my department. The worst thing they could do is to announce the new program, Street Cop, you know, Street Stoic by Steve or whatever. That is, even though the book needs to be done, that's the worst thing they could do is to announce it as a program, because when a cop hears program, they automatically hear temporary. The chief did it. New chief comes in, gets rid of it, whatever. So what would your recommendation be for a leader that maybe they've recently come across what Stoicism is, or they recently read your book and they go, there's a lot to this, I think this can help people. What recommendation would you give that leader?
So yes, you absolutely nail on the head. And, you know, and that's why I started the book that way. It's like, do not read this book, get excited about it and try to start a Stoicism club, or, you know, start a Stoicism program at your agency. You know, you can't force it on anybody. It's people have to willingly accept it and see the benefits and realize, hey, I don't want to be stressed. I don't want to be anxious. I want to be able to, you know, handle this job and not, you know, not be panicking all the time. So what I would say is if you read the book, if you get into it, if you see the value of it, is number one, practice Stoicism. Just, you don't have to talk about it. You don't have to put any pen to paper or anything else. All you have to do is practice it, live it, be a good example. People will come to you and ask you what you're doing. It will be apparent. If you know how it is, like when somebody is just doing everything right, when they're clicking, you know, when they're firing all cylinders, it's just very clear the second they walk in the room, like, this person gets it. And that's what Stoicism will do for you in a leadership position. You'll be a better leader. You'll be more active. You'll be more productive. You'll be kinder to the people under you. And you're going to start to see little traits, little things that you've struggled with or you've tried to overcome. in the people that work for you and, you know, the people that you're supervising. And that'll be your opportunity to, you know, and don't try to teach them all of stoicism. Teach them the one thing, you know, maybe the dichotomy of control about, you know, focus on what they can control and, you know, not worrying so much about the things that are outside their control. But there's all sorts of little moments on every single shift where you can share with officers. And if you're just present and try to give them what it is they need in the moment.
Yeah, I think you nailed that, because I think most people in law enforcement listen to this. They know exactly the officer or the leader or the supervisor they've been around that sort of gets this. Maybe they don't think what they're looking at or observing is stoicism, or they don't think that, or maybe the person doing it does not even know what stoicism is. But this way I would describe it is I go to lunch with four or five coworkers, and man, it's just a bitch session, right? Everyone's talking about the department's this and the chief is that, and this is what's going wrong. And I almost don't even go anymore because that's the last thing I want to be around. But then once in a while you're around a group where everyone's doing that. But then that one cat is just chilling, right? They're just hanging out. They're in their own. They're in their own mindset. They're positive. They seem happy. Nothing seems to affect them, and that's the person that I think other people are attracted to. And so what you're saying is be that person. In fact, the definition that I have hanging on my wall right now, stoicism, an indifference to pleasure or pain, right? And the way I would describe it is they're just even keel. I try to implement this on the golf course. It doesn't always work. Regardless, I'm a big follower in sort of the history of golf because those dudes were so much better than me. But Ben Hogan was a prime example. If any golf fans and Hogan fans out there is, whether he had a great shot or a bad shot, you couldn't tell with his emotions. He was just even, and that gave him, I think, a lot of pleasure, and a lot of people were attracted to that throughout his life, and so. But that doesn't happen overnight, right? This is not some skill set you get to read one book and boom, you're there. This is a lifelong pursuit, is it not?
It is. And, you know, that's one thing I do try to harp on quite a bit in the book is this is a practice. You know, and this is something, if there are substantial benefits to practicing stoicism, but you have to do it every day. I don't have a quick fix for you. There's no life hack. There's not a little acronym I can give you. Like, you have to put it to work, and you have to do it, and you have to repeatedly do it. And you're going to call yourself on it. You know, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to screw up, and you have to face that and try to do better the next day. And that's what I do. You know, like, as far as even the four virtues, I constantly remind myself to respond to every situation with wisdom, courage, justice, and discipline, you know. And that is something that every interaction with a coworker, every time I'm out there on the street dealing with somebody complaining, if I'm dealing with a criminal who's screaming and yelling and spitting, I do those four things. That's my game plan. But if I don't stick to that game plan, I can fall off and get emotional and do something I regret just as easily as anybody else.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier sort of the chaos in the profession in recent years, and it's been unprecedented. I've been in this game 30 years, and I don't think anybody predicted this. No one expected this. And I think, in the most part, people that come out the other side of that in a good mindset probably have a lot of these traits. They may not be able to identify that it was stoicism, but they really do. So I don't think the hate and the vitriol is going to go away. I think there are certain entities that gain a lot from doing that. And I kind of laugh every time, you know, certain people go, oh, we're so scared of the police, but you're in their face screaming at them. So you're obviously not that scared. It's just a scam.
Right.
But yeah. But so law enforcement on the streets, I mean, they're going to continue to experience this. They're going to continue to see this. And I know you mentioned haters in the book. It's a real issue. And so I want you just sort of give a quick tidbit to our audience are how stoicism can help them deal with that kind of chaos around them.
Absolutely. So, you know, the first thing is you got to accept it. We all signed up to be the good guy or to help society or, you know, make a difference or whatever. And, you know, the idea that people hate us or don't think that we're good people or actually see us as a bad guy, it sucks, but we need to go ahead and accept that because it's true, you know, and it's not like that's going to change anytime soon, just like you said. So you got to accept it. And then you, there's a lot of stoic techniques you can employ. You know, you can take the view from above, for example, and that's, you know, taking the 30,000 foot view, taking yourself out of that, you know, right up what's only looking at what's right in front of you, and try to see the big picture and try to realize, you know, any cop in the world that would have showed up to this call wearing the same uniform would have got screened at exactly the same way. So, you know, if you're taking it personally, just look at it as they don't like cops in general. And there's a lot of ways, you know, to say, like, look how small the situation is. You know, there's people all over the place experiencing much worse than what we're going through. And if they can handle it, then maybe we can handle it too. So, you know, taking a different perspective can help. And there's a lot of other techniques that can help you, you know, deal with life that we're dealing with right now as far as being police officers. You know, I had a funny stoic quote from Bruce Lee, actually. He said, "Do not pray for an easy life. Pray for the strength to endure a difficult one." And that's what we need to do as a group, I think, is everybody keeps looking for the magic bullet and the way that, you know, what's going to turn all this around. And the answer is it's not going to turn around. Be strong enough to handle that.
Yeah, we have law enforcement has this sense that we want to control everything, right? It's sort of our personality, and that's just part of it. But I think a very important part of stoicism is you don't control everything. In fact, you're a speck in the ocean.
Right.
You really get out of your own head. And when we talk about leadership, that's one of the huge issues with leadership in law enforcement is people take their shirt to the dry cleaner and get some stripes sewn on, or they put some brass collar on, you know, on their collar, or maybe they get the brass ring and they're the chief or the sheriff, and they actually think that means something, right? They actually think that, you know, in 5 years they won't be at a retirement home and somebody else is doing their job. They actually think that means something. So I think a huge issue with leadership is we have to stop thinking we're so important. Now, yes. What I would say is those around you should be made to feel important. But we need to, in fact, in my seminars, I talk about it. You're not the hero. You're nothing. You need to, and boy, people get really upset by that because, you know, people work their entire careers to achieve some sort of status. Well, stoicism is going to tell you the exact opposite. Like, no, you have no status. Like, everyone else around you is who you should be promoting, and stop promoting yourself. And of course, I like LinkedIn for a bunch of different reasons, but I hate LinkedIn because all I see on there is how great, look at me, and it drives me insane. And so, but that's going to be a tough cookie to break, but I can't control that. You can't control that. You can only control what you do. And man, if we can just catch that concept, Steve, where, you know what, I'm going to control what I control. Someone screaming and yelling at me, acting like a complete fool, I'm going to be very professional because I can control that. And just doing that on a daily basis. And you see a lot of value in that, correct?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I just gave a couple hour long presentation to a group of FTOs and field training coordinators at the CEFTOA conference in Fort Walton Beach. And it was, you know, I was impressed, and I really appreciate the character of most of the people in the room, because I was talking about ego and anger in a very personal way, about how ego screws us over every single time and how we have to get our anger under control inside those patrol cars when we're training people. And, you know, those topics do require people to take a look inwards. And I was impressed that, you know, most of them, it was a tough pill to swallow, and they swallowed it. A couple people gave me funny looks, but and it's funny how, you know, when people do get promoted and they perceive that they are now at the top of the pack, or they are somehow, you know, they now represent the entire agency. They are the agency, and they start taking things very personally. You know, if somebody says, "Hey, the agency could be better," they take that as an assault on them. If I could teach, you know, police command staff or chiefs anything, is just separate your ego from your job title, because it's going to make you miserable and it's going to make you do stupid things. And that's, you know, that's where we see people just grasping at straws and coming up with, you know, these programs that never seem to do anything, but they sound like you're making an effort. And it's just, you know, it's a knee-jerk reaction. Instead of, you know, going for actual values, they want something with a cool acronym. And
yeah, I don't want to burst a bubble of any high-ranking leaders maybe listening to this, but let me just tell you what everybody thinks about your program. We're laughing right. at you. We're laughing right. at you. We know it's a joke. Everybody but you knows it's a joke. The community may applaud you for a day, and they're going to scream at you the next day. And it doesn't do anything but stroke your own ego. And it's just, and I know oftentimes we're sort of a product of, I call it incestual leadership, Steve. I think you warn people in your book, so I guess we're okay by saying those words. And that is, we all learn from those before. So if you're in a culture right. or an organization that has got this sort of hierarchy of special people, and now you're the chiefs, you get your own special parking, or you get your nicest car, or the lieutenants get better equipment than the sergeants, or whatever it is we just keep repeating that culture. And what I want people to think about that are listening to this is it can stop with you. Like, just because the chief before you or the commander before you had the nicest car, or the nicest equipment, or the biggest office, doesn't mean you have to. You could actually be the person that says, you know what? It stops right here. And nothing draws my ire more than when I see people that think they get special privileges because they passed a test one day, which is stupid.
Right.
Dumb. Exactly. But our culture has made that happen. Like, I'll go to police departments and teach. I can't even find a parking spot because there's a special parking spot for every rank there. And and it's just, and you don't see that anywhere else, Steve. Like, you don't go to Walmart. I know you have Walmarts here in Alligator Land on every corner.
Sure.
You don't see parking for all the managers, right? You usually see parking for an employee of the month or something to that effect. But law enforcement is a weird cookie. And I would say, hey, if everything was firing all cylinders, I probably wouldn't be talking about it. But we obviously aren't firing on all cylinders. And I think we need to reject the status quo and do something different. That's what I love about your book. And when we get into ego, and you just mentioned that, you specifically talk about TikTok in the book. And it caught my attention because I have about an hour speech on this bullshit when I talk.
Right.
And okay. I'm really glad that, because I'll just tell you my two cents, and I want you to know what you think about it. I think it's a complete embarrassment to this profession. I think it is, and I think what you say is, are you humanizing the badge or humiliating the badge? And
correct.
And I just think it's a complete embarrassment. That's not what community policing is. That's some grown ass man acting like a 12-year-old, you know? And I don't see any value whatsoever of us acting stupid on social media, because you don't see the CEO of Coke doing it. You don't see employees at hospitals. Well, I guess you do a little bit during COVID. They acted crazy too, but you don't see a lot of other professions doing it but us. So I'm not sure what we think we're accomplishing. And by the way, if that worked, then why all the hatred still around? Because those people are going to hate no matter what. So I don't want to lump everybody into this TikTok bubble, because maybe there's somebody out there I haven't met yet that's doing it the right way, but I ain't met you yet. So I'm going to lump them all in there. I think we are it's embarrassing to the profession that I know you and I have dedicated almost 50 years to, that they've taken our professionalism and done this. So what's your thoughts on it, if I didn't steal all your thunder?
No, well, absolutely. You know, it's we got cops out there twerking and booty dancing and doing line dances and doing skits, or you have, you know, some like rookie with less than a year of experience on TikTok explaining the entire profession to the general public, and they're getting it wrong. They haven't been there. They haven't seen it. They don't even know what they're dealing with yet. And a lot of times, you know, the point of the story, you know, when it's just not a funny dance or whatever, if they're actually talking to the camera, it's they're being an apologist for police, you know, and they, you know, number one, probably haven't done that much to, you know, even apologize for. Number two, it's usually not things we should be sorry about, you know, enforcing the law, taking people to jail who commit crimes. Those are not things that we need to be sorry for. That's what we get paid to do. And, you know, I think they've taken the idea of community policing or, you know, being kind to people way past where they should be, all the way into the uselessness category of never arrest anybody. You're not a deterrent to crime. And you're basically just saying, you know, I'm not one of them. I'm not. And it's true. You're not a cop. You're not enforcing the law. So, you know, I will say this is a nuanced conversation. I do know some people who are on TikTok and on social media who are providing good training for other officers. They're teaching some skills and things like that. But the vast majority is about getting attention. It's about look at me, and trying to get followers and trying to stroke that ego.
Yeah, I agree with you. Daniel Carr was on our show, and he's got a TikTok channel, but it's informational, right? It's very educational. Correct. Trust me, you don't want to see Daniel twerking. He's not twerking. He's given great information. So we don't want to lump them in there, but I think we've got to get back to the basics, get back to the mission. And the last thing that is twerking or whatever the hell else they're trying to do, right? And exactly. One of the last things I want to talk to you about is once again, I was immediately attracted to it because it's something that I've implemented really since I found Stoicism, which you talk about the value in doing hard things. Kind of explain that and the benefits of that, because I've seen that personally in my life. I'll just give you the quick list: Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, golf, playing guitar. That's in the last year and a half, and I'm struggling mightily, but I learn the lessons each and every day by taking on those challenges. So I just want to kind of get your feedback on that.
Absolutely. You know, it's been a while now, but Cam Hayes's book, Endure, and I don't know if you've read it or not.
Yes. Yeah.
So he's awesome. And he talked about, you know, not taking any days off. That to me just something about it clicked right in with the idea of doing hard things and willingly undertaking some hardship. And I said, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. And yeah, I was a little bit overweight at that time. And I was like, that's it. I hate to run. I am going to run every single day. And, you know, just started out jogging a mile. And now it's been over 280 something days since I've taken a day off. And, you know, mostly I do 5 to 7 miles a day now. And the results have been amazing. You know, I've lost a lot of weight. I feel good about myself. And, you know, doing a project like I'm doing requires me to get up in front of a lot of people. So it helps to look a little better. And the really cool thing is I run no matter what. So if it's pouring rain, if it's Christmas morning, if I'm sick.
You're one of those sickos that's out there in the. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. And that translates really well to my office. You know, we work long shift. My officer is out on a perimeter. They're getting rained on. It's freezing. I'll go out there and take their spot for them. No big deal. Sergeant Steve will come, you know, track with the canines. If one of my officers is undergoing a hardship, I will be there with them. And I don't think twice about it. I'm not one of these leaders who thinks their job is at the station. I get out in the streets, and if they can suffer through it, I can suffer through it. And I think that is the appropriate way to lead people, is show them, look, it doesn't hurt. If you don't let it, you know, the discomfort stop you from doing your job, then it's just another thing to deal with. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. And I don't want to tell you how to lead your life, Steve. You may want to mix in a bike ride once in a while. You don't see a lot of old cops that are still running. Those knees are not built for daily runs, so maybe you'll find that out one day. But maybe you're a bionic man as well. I don't know, but I know a lot of cops that were daily runners that are riding bikes every day now, so just saying.
I might shift gears one day, but I'm definitely going to hit 1 year of running every day.
Yeah, you might as well, man. You might as well. So a police officer's listening right now. They just heard about Stoicism. They heard about your book called Street Stoic. Just type that in, Street Stoic, Ancient Philosophy, Modern Policing. Excellent book. And they go, man, I think I'm interested. Tell them exactly what they need to do right now.
Absolutely. So easiest way to get the book, you know, pretty much the next day, go to Amazon. We got it on Prime. That it can be at your door pretty quick. If you don't want to buy anything, if you don't have the money for it, or you're not sold on it, go to my website, streetstoic.com. This is the first thing I did. I made a free resource for police officers. I have articles on there. I have different guides to how to start practicing Stoicism. I have links to all sorts of other resources available for you. I want police officers to get a benefit out of this. So while you're there, you can sign up for my newsletter. Bryce Lee and I send out a weekly newsletter with little tips on how to practice stoicism in your daily life out there on patrol. So those are all free things that you can get. Also, I do provide training, in-person training, so you could have your training coordinator get with me. I'll be glad to show up and talk to you guys as long as you're willing to listen to me about stoicism.
Incredible stuff, Steve. I can't thank you enough for being here. And what's really amazing to me is we complicate leadership so much, right? All the different ideas and programs and books and classes. But at the end of the day, we could take a philosophy that's well over 2,000 years old. And if you would just apply a few of that, how much better could our profession be, right?
Absolutely. It is night and day. So.
Sergeant Steve Sweeting, the author of Street Stoic, Ancient Philosophy, Modern Policing. I can't thank you enough, sir, for being here. I cannot recommend this book enough. And if you've listened to me for a while, you know I don't say that lightly. This is a must book in everybody's bookshelf or Kindle or however goofy way you're reading them today. But get the actual book because you'll enjoy it a lot better. Steve Sweeting, thanks so much for being here, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, Travis.
And thank you for listening. And just remember, lead on and stay courageous.
Thank you for listening to Courageous Leadership with Travis Yates. We invite you to join other courageous leaders at travisyates.org.